welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from Radio's Yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and coming up in this hour, horror shows. Later on, we'll hear The Vampire's Desire on The Hermit's Cave, but right now it's an episode of Macabre, produced by the Armed Forces Radio Service and heard exclusively overseas during Radio's Yesteryear. We now hear the first broadcast of about eight produced for the series called Final Resting Place, broadcast on November 13th, 1961.
He lives in a spectrum of the universe. When he ventures beyond this limit, he is in the unknown, a realm where strange forces are brought into play. When man attempts to misuse these forces, he is sometimes destroyed. This is Macabre. Far East Network presents, in special performance, Macabre. Tonight's story, Final Resting Place.
Like the road. Honey, I think we're lost.
It has to be right, Sue. Justice of the Peace back at Carterville said the lake was on the main highway. We haven't made any turns.
But, darling, it's getting dark. This road doesn't look well-traveled. I really think we made a wrong turn somewhere.
Mrs. Kent, your husband solemnly promises to deliver his bride of a few hours safely and surely to Honeymoon Lodge on Mirror Lake. Now, let's hear no more about it. Come on, move closer. Head on my shoulder. That's it.
Roger. You better watch the road.
Why? We haven't passed another car for an hour. Relax, Sue. It's a fine way to start a married life of bliss.
Look, there's a sign. Can you make it out?
Yeah. Randolph, 5 miles.
Are we supposed to go this way?
Sure. What'd I tell you? It's only 50 miles farther. Randolph is our halfway point.
But this country road, how can they call a lonely trail like this a highway?
You're just a sophisticated cityite. Now close your eyes and listen to the radio. We'll be there before you know it.
Oh, my darling. I guess I'm getting jumpy.
Head on my shoulder and not another word. Okay?
Okay.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. Authorities of the state asylum have just issued the following warning. A dangerous homicidal maniac escaped custody this morning and is believed to be in the vicinity of Randolph.
Roger.
Shh, listen.
He's 45 years of age, weighs 200 pounds, has thick gray hair, and answers to the name of Dr. Vardmore. We repeat, this man is a dangerous killer. Those in the vicinity of Randolph are urged to take extra precaution tonight. Since this killer is armed, the public is warned against walking alone or driving at night on the quiet roads near Randolph. Report all suspicious persons to the county sheriff's office. Now we return you to Stars of Music.
Roger, did you hear that?
Sure, but how does it concern us?
Darling, we are driving down a country road near Randolph. Suppose we should have a car trouble or a flat tire.
Boy, you are getting jumpy.
Let's stop in Randolph for the night.
But Sue, our reservations at Mirror Lake are
please,
for tonight.
Roger, I have the strangest feeling. If we don't stop at Randolph, we'll never reach Mirror Lake.
Great idea, Sue.
What, darling?
Stopping here for the night? Now we can see the carnival.
It's all right while these people are here, I guess. But we'd better go back to the hotel before they leave.
Are you still afraid?
Well, kinda. Aren't you?
Come on. I'll show you a good time. You'll forget all about it.
Okay. What's that man doing over there?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll kindly step closer,
I don't know. Let's find
out. I will demonstrate for you one of the great marvels of all time. As you see, at my feet is a hole, an excavation 6 feet in depth, a grave, if you will. And beside me here is a casket. Now, friends, what do you think we are going to do? Now, friends, ladies and gentlemen, have no fear. Tonight, I, Professor Vincent, will select someone, one of you from the audience, to be hypnotized and placed in this casket. Then, I will bury him alive for 5 days.
If he's not buried that long, he ain't gonna wind up much alive.
Just a moment, please. 5 days at $100 a day. Now, what do you say? Who wants to make $500? There is absolutely no danger. A shaft will be sunk so that we can see your head. You'll get plenty of light and air. Food will be lowered to you. Nothing to it at all. Who'll be the first volunteer?
You got as popular as Undertaker, pal.
Come now, ladies and gentlemen. Under hypnosis, believe me, 5 days will seem like an hour. The easiest $500 you've ever made. Who will volunteer? How about you, my bumpkin comedian friend?
No, sirree. Last year I took sick with pneumonia. Not sure I'd end up in one of them boxes.
Did you recover? It's hard to tell from looking at you. You, sir, what is your name?
Roger, he's pointing at you.
I don't think I'd be interested.
Who are you, sir?
Roger Kent.
Roger Kent, does $500 interest you?
Well, sure, but...
Good. Good, you'll make a fine subject.
Now, wait a minute.
And, Roger, who is the young lady with you?
My wife, Sue.
Oh? And what do you say, Mrs. Kent?
Why, I think it's just a dreadful idea. No.
You better pick someone else, Professor.
Nonsense. Do you need the money?
We do need it. But not this way, Roger. It's awful.
$500 would pay off the car. We still have 10 days left for our honeymoon, Sue.
Well, how about it, friends?
Don't let him tempt you. I don't like that man.
It is a lot of money for only 5 days.
We can't wait all night. What do you say?
I don't know.
Say no, Roger.
Speak up. Yes or no.
I hate to turn it down.
You're not going to be buried in that terrible coffin. Tell him no.
Go ahead, pal. We got a first-class cemetery.
All right. All right, everyone. Roger and Sue, time's up. Tell you what I'll do. Think it over. If you decide to go through with it, come back after a couple of hours when the carnival is closed for the night. I'll be waiting for you in my trailer.
Oh, Roger, he wants you. I'm afraid of that man.
Don't forget, I'll wait up for you until you decide one way or the other. Roger Kent, we'll hold the grave open for you.
Listen, Sue, my mind's made up.
But suppose...
Face up to it. We need the money. That's the easiest $500 I ever heard of.
Darling, I know that.
Then what's the matter?
Well, in the first place, we shouldn't be out here in the dark with that madman loose. In the second place...
Professor Vincent seems too interested in me.
Oh, Roger, you read my mind. I'm just trying to protect you, honey. That man, I don't know that... Something wrong.
Admit it, Sue. You don't like the buried alive act. Isn't that it?
Yes, I guess so. It's horrible.
I thought so. Uh-oh. This must be his trailer. Professor Vincent. Here it is.
Roger.
Yeah?
If he answers, there'll be no turning back. It'll be too late.
I know. No turning back.
Professor Vincent?
Come in, Roger and Sue. Come in.
Did you really think we'd come?
I was certain. You see, there is no other way. When I count three, Roger, you will be asleep. Sound asleep on your feet. Then, Roger, you will be placed in the coffin and lowered into the grave for your 5-day rest. Now look deeply into my eyes. Deeply. Inhale
and look deeply into my eyes. You're going to sleep, Roger. To sleep. You can no longer move your arms. They hang helpless at your side. Sleep, Roger. Close your eyes and sleep. One, two, your eyes are closed, and now you are powerless to open them. You are free, asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to place Roger Kent in the casket. Whom among you in the audience will help me?
I will, Professor.
All right, my friend, step right up here now. Here, help me raise the lid of this coffin.
Now, give me his feet and we'll put him in.
Careful, careful, he's a big man. There, he's in.
God, heavy as a rock. Just like a dead man.
Yes, now, close the lid. Close it. Now we're ready to lower into the grave. You see, the casket is supported over the open hole by two chains. If you'll flip that switch the same time I flip this one, Mr. Kent will be gently deposited in his grave.
This one?
Yes. There it goes.
Glory be. Just like a real funeral. Reminds me of the time we buried my grandpappy.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, the coffin will lie at the bottom of the grave. We will then place an air shaft down to Mr. Kent's head so that he will be able to breathe. And all of you will be able to see him at 25 cents apiece.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Thank you, friend. You've done your work now. Will you kindly leave? Thank you. You are witnessing the marvel of the age. A human being being buried alive. The casket has stopped. Will another volunteer from the audience help me position the air shaft?
How about me?
Fine. Step up here, friend, if you please.
You picked the right one this time, Governor.
So?
I used to work in a funeral parlor. Handled a stiff.
Yes, now, just pick up that end of the metal shaft, please. Easy does it. Now, down over the round opening on the casket lid. Careful now. There. Thank you very much, my friend. Neat, very neat.
Okay, Governor. What next?
The shovel. The hole must be covered up.
Oh, sure.
And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. You have just seen demonstrated the marvel of the age. A man buried alive. Now, for the next 5 days, Roger Kent will lie there in a deep slumber. The end of which time we'll dig him up and pay him $500. In the meantime, my friends, you may step up here and view him down the shaft for a small sum of 25 cents, one quarter, the one-fourth part of a dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, who will be first among
right.
you?
No, sir.
What's that you say?
Dishonest, I say.
What's the matter with you?
Charging money to see him buried alive.
What?
I don't know. I helped you lift him in.
Leave the carnival, sir. Leave here immediately.
That man ain't buried alive. He's dead.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Kent. This is Professor Vincent. I got your message. First chance I've had to call you.
Oh, Professor, I'm so glad you did.
What's on your mind?
How is Roger?
I keep telling you he's all right. Now you must stop this nonsense.
Well, it's been 3 days since he was buried, and he just lies there so still. Oh, if I could only talk to him.
Mrs. Kent.
I called down to him, but he never moves or opens his eyes. And after all this time, I know something is wrong. Roger wouldn't let me worry like this. He'd at least look up and smile, if he could.
How many times must I repeat he is hypnotized?
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
Oh, just a moment, Professor. The radio...
Sheriff's office has just confirmed the whereabouts of the homicidal maniac who escaped from the state asylum 3 days ago. This dangerous killer who calls himself Dr. Vardmore is now known to be in the immediate vicinity of Randolph. Everyone is cautioned against walking alone on the streets after dark. If you plan to attend the carnival, kindly do so with friends and leave the carnival in the company of others. Report all suspicious persons. We return you now to your regular program.
Did you hear that on the radio?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Professor, I'm terribly afraid. I don't want Roger alone down there with this madman loose. Please, Professor, dig Roger up tonight.
Mrs. Kent, we made a bargain, a business proposition. Kindly stay in your hotel room and rest. This is the third day. The day after tomorrow, it will be all over for Roger and for you.
Pardon me, ma'am. Are you Mrs. Kent?
Why, yes. Who are you?
I'm the one who helped put your husband in the casket.
Well, why are you talking to me?
I don't know. Just to warn you, I guess. I think your husband's dead.
Oh, you horrible, horrible little man. Get away from me. I'll call the police.
That's you, Mrs. Kent.
Oh, Professor Vincent, I'm so glad to see you. A terrible little man.
Yes, I heard what he said. Now get hold of yourself and listen to me carefully. This is the fifth night. I want you to go to the hotel and wait until the carnival is over. Tonight is the last showing at Randolph. At 11:30, you take a taxi out here to the lot. I'll meet you. Roger will be ready along with the $500.
All right, Professor. Anything you say. Oh, thank God this is about to end.
Yes, my dear. It's all about to end.
Are you going out, Miss Kent?
Yes, clerk. And here's the key to my room.
Thank you. I don't think it's wise, though. I mean, you're going out alone. It's after 11 and mighty dark tonight.
The police haven't caught the killer yet?
No. Funny thing, too. Looks like he'll have to leave a fresh trail. You know, kill somebody so they'll have more to go on. Now, why don't you take someone with you?
Oh, I'll be all right. I'm meeting Professor Vincent at the carnival lot. This is the night they released my husband.
I see.
Do you know the professor?
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, he's the one who hypnotized Mr. Kent.
No. Professor Vincent didn't.
What?
Professor got sick 5 days ago.
Got sick? Well, then who was Professor Vincent at the carnival?
I don't know. Somebody who took his place, I guess.
Here you are, driver. Thank you. Professor Vincent! It's so dark! Where are you? That's strange. I'm sure the carnival was on this vacant lot, but now there's nothing. Just a few old papers blowing in the wind. Why did I let that cab leave? What a light in sight. Those trees around the lot. What if the killer were hiding there? Oh, the place Roger was buried. It was in this direction. This way. Maybe I can find it. My grand will be thought. Where they dug him up and filled the hole. Must be right around here. Oh, where is it? Oh, what? What's this? A mount!
No. They can't do that. They went away and left you buried. Oh, Roger. I'll get you out, honey. Oh, my darling, I'll help you.
It's watching me from those trees. I saw it move. I could get out of here. I'll be back, Roger. There's an all-night filling station 5 blocks away. Maybe I can make it there. Oh, it moved again. There is someone out there. Roger, is that you? No, it's coming after me. It's too big for Roger. I don't know what it is. It's gaining on me. I can't let it catch me. No! Help!
Mrs. Kent, calm yourself, please.
Who are you?
Don't you know? I'm Professor Vincent. I was waiting for you. Now, come with me to my trailer.
No, you're not Professor Vincent.
So, you guessed.
Who are you?
There's nothing to be alarmed about. You're in safe hands at last.
I am Victor, Dr. Victor Vardmore.
I've been asleep, I guess. Legs feel cramped. Mind's foggy. Can't remember what happened.
Sue, where are you?
Dark. Pitch black. Must be night. Quiet. Not a sound. I could only remember. Thinking back. Smells damp, like fresh earth. Where am I? Gotta get up and stretch my leg. No rooms. Wait a minute. There was this carnival. Professor Vincent. Oh, it's beginning to come back now. I was hypnotized and put in a casket. Buried for 5 days, yeah. Yeah, it's clear now. The time's up, yeah. They're gonna dig me up now. Boy. The deep hypnotic spell that old boy put me in. I'm glad it's over. Okay, Professor. You can bring me up now. I guess he stepped away from the shaft. Shaft? Where's the shaft? It's supposed to be over my head here so I can see up. Can't see a thing. Cloth-lined coffin lid. My shaft should be. What's going on here? I'd like to get out, Professor. Possible they went away and left me buried alive? Oh, no. And Professor! Sue! Help! I'm buried alive! Good Lord. Help! Gotta get out. Help me, somebody! Don't leave me down here to die! Help! Push harder! More! No use. Oh, bloods. Help! I'm gonna die. Me here to die. Can't call for help. Nobody to hear me. Carnival left. Nothing up there but vacant lot, hedge and town. Somebody came back. How could he tell I was down here buried? Oh, God, don't let this happen to me. Please. Help me. Save me. God, don't let this happen. I don't want to die.
Roger.
I'm hearing things.
This is Professor Vincent. Now listen carefully.
Where are you? Get me out of here.
Don't fret. Your oxygen supply won't last much longer.
Oxygen?
You're buried alive, Roger. And I'm not coming back for you.
Not going back?
I'm leaving you buried there.
Well, Professor, I'll kill you.
Roger, tell me how.
I'll kill...
Don't excite yourself any further. The oxygen pellet won't sustain your lungs. You are hearing my voice in a small, shortwave receiver and transmitter near your head. I am talking to you from my trailer about a block from you. Sue is with me, Roger. I want you to listen very, very carefully.
Sue, there?
Go ahead, Sue. Tell him.
Oh, Roger, are you all right?
Yes. What's he doing with you?
Please do as he says, darling. He's not the real professor. He's that escaped madman from the asylum, Dr. Vardmore.
He's crazy, Sue.
Please, darling, we have no choice.
Please, quick.
Listen to me. One move like that, and I will kill you both. I have gone to a lot of trouble to set up my final demonstration.
What are you going to do?
I am going to try personality transference. We have the required situation. A man buried alive in mortal fear of death. And the woman he loves who will do anything to save him.
If we do... As you say, what then?
I will release the two of you.
And if we don't?
You have just enough oxygen for just a few more minutes.
I see.
Hurry, Dr. Vardmore. Get it over with.
Now, Roger, I want you to think about Sue. Sue, you about Roger. Each imagine he is the other. Roger, you are standing beside me in the trailer. Sue, you are lying down there in the casket.
No!
Cooperate and I will free you. It's your only way out of that grave.
Yes, and she in yours.
Do it, darling. It's our only chance.
He's not Sue.
That's enough. One more refusal, and I'll turn off the shortwave transmitter and leave you in your dark world forever. Now, Roger, imagine you are Sue standing here. Sue, you concentrate on being Roger in the casket. Think. Put everything else out of your minds. I have it. Repeat something you both know. Say the 23rd Psalm. Here we go now. Start with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table.
Roger! Sue! Help me! Don't leave me down here! The oxygen! It's going! Save me! Quickly! Dig me up! I'm dying! No, I am!
Just heard Macabre, a special Far East Network presentation. In our cast were John Buey as Professor Vincent, Mitzi Hennessy as Sue, William Verdier as Roger, Milton Radmilovich, Air Force Sergeant Bob Eddy, and Air Force Sergeant Newell Stewart. Technical supervision by Hiroshi Ono. This is Air Force Sergeant Al LePage speaking. Macabre was written and directed by William Verdier.
Macabre, on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from November 13, 1961, from the Armed Forces Radio Service, although it was the 13th, it happened to be a Monday. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. And now a story titled The Vampire's Desire, broadcast on the Hermit's Cave in and about the year of 1945.
The Mummers. In the Little Theater of the Air. Now the Hermit is ready to help you spend an entertaining half hour.
Ghost stories. Weird stories. And murders, too. The Hermit knows of them all. Turn out your light. Turn them out. Ah. Have you heard the story of Vampire's Desire? Yeah? Then listen while the Hermit tells you the story.
Forbidding-looking place, Mr. Winton?
It is at that. We can't go any farther in this downpour.
We shall most likely have to stay in this doorway, then. The house looks untenanted.
Does it that? However, there may be someone in.
There's no one living in this tomb of a place, Mr. Winton.
I think you're right, John. I wonder where we are.
I haven't had the slightest idea where we are since the beginning of the storm when we lost our way.
I think you're right about the place being untenanted. Try the door. Maybe we can break in. Anything to get out of this storm. Try the door.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's opening. Oh,
good.
Well?
Good evening. We've lost our way, been caught in this storm. We're drenched to the skin.
More fools you for being out on a night like this.
Very agreeable, sir.
May we come in? didn't get dried out.
You're not welcome.
Well, surely you're not going to turn us away on a night like this.
I don't care what kind of a night it is. You're not welcome.
Well, all right, may we come in, whether we're welcome or not.
No. Good night.
She's slamming the door in your face.
Kindly soul.
When the old woman tried to slam the door, I stuck my foot in the way, and she hasn't tried to close it anymore.
Well, good. Let's take a chance on going in, then, whether we're welcome or not.
All right, sir. Now, which way, Mr. Winton?
Who can tell in this pitch darkness? Listen.
The old woman.
Yeah.
Mr. Winton, we're in the house of a mad woman.
It isn't a very pleasant sound, is it?
Doesn't seem to be a light in the whole place. What shall we do?
We'll go to the right. Feel along the wall for a light switch or a door.
All right.
Come along, then. Follow me. Ah, here's a door. Come along, John. Stay close by me.
Yes, sir. Oh, good Lord, sir. Is she going to keep that up all night?
Well, if she is, I wish she'd tell what the joke is so we can laugh with her. Find the light switch?
No. There doesn't seem to be one.
All right, then. We'll continue in the dark. You go to the left. I'll go to the right. Maybe we can find something to sit on.
Hey, yes, sir. Ah.
Hmm?
What's this? I found something.
What is it?
Well, it might be a bookcase built into the wall.
All right. There may be at least something in it that we can sit on. Even books will be better than the cold floor.
Yes, sir. Although I can't feel anything yet.
Keep talking, John, so I can find my way over to you.
Yes, sir. Why don't you strike a match?
Fine chance either of us have of doing that. It'll be soaking wet. Where are you?
Right here, sir. You're almost up to me.
Ah. Now, where's the bookcase?
Right here. Let me have your hand.
Ah. Ah, yes. Now, let's feel all through it. Maybe something of use in it. You never can tell. What was that?
Sounds like someone at the door.
What are you doing?
Trying to light a match.
Any luck?
No, sir. Just like you said, they're sopping wet.
Quiet now. Let's listen. Huh. You must have been imagining things.
I've been imagining things ever since we first heard that old woman laugh like that. It fairly makes my hair stand on end. There it is again, sir. A rustling near the door.
Who is that? Who's there?
Stay away from that bookcase. Stay away.
Who is it? Who are you?
Stay away from that bookcase.
We wouldn't be near the blessed bookcase if you'd be gracious enough to conduct us to a room with some furniture in it so that we might rest and get dry.
Stay away from the bookcase.
He's leaving, sir.
Well, this is a fine how-do-you-do, isn't it?
Oh, I've had about enough, sir. I'd sooner we were on our way.
Oh, nonsense. However, we leave the bookcase alone, if that's what we're asked to do.
He's still hereabouts?
Yes, I heard him. Say, you playing some game with us? If so, we're not in the mood for it.
No answer.
No.
Oh, there she is again.
Yes. That's enough. That's enough.
What are you going to do, sir?
This is some fool game they're playing with us. I'm going to find out about it and put a stop to it. There's a man and woman living in this house. There must be some furniture in at least one of the rooms.
Some heat, sir. I'm chilled to the bone.
Yes, yeah, some heat. There isn't, and there's something going on here that we should investigate and put a stop to. Come along, John.
All right, sir, if you say so. Where to first?
We'll start right where we are. Search the whole house. From this floor up to the roof, isn't it?
Mr. Winton, look.
Where?
Down to the end of this hall. There's the old man who was talking to us in the room downstairs, telling us to keep away from the bookcase.
I think you're right. Carrying a shaded lantern.
Yes, sir.
John, we'll follow him.
Yes.
He'll lead us somewhere. We can't wander in this house all night in the dark.
At any rate, he has a light.
I don't think he's noticed us.
We'll have to get close to him before he turns that corner down at the end of the hall.
Yes.
He's almost at the corner. There, he turned.
Hurry. He might duck into some room close by and we'll lose him. Easy now, while I peek around the corner.
You see him, sir?
Yes. Going into the first room on the left.
Quiet. The air is stale and musty here.
Yes, but never mind about that just now.
It makes me gasp for breath.
Here's the room he went into. Quiet now while I have a look.
Is he in there, sir?
Strange. I'm sure he went in there.
He might be hiding behind the door waiting to pounce on us.
Old man like that couldn't do much pouncing.
He might be armed.
Oh, take that chance. The air is stale and musty here, isn't it?
I can hardly get my breath.
Yes. The foul, fetid air coming from that room the old man went into. Well, if he can stand it, we can.
All right, sir. But be careful.
He's not in here. If he is, he's turned out the lantern. Hello. Hello.
There's no one in here.
Huh? The door, John. The door just slammed shut.
Oh, there's no door here. I ran right into a blank wall.
This is where the door was.
Right here, yes.
John, we're trapped. Some devilman underfoot in this house. We're right in the middle of it.
In a room with no way out. And no air. No air.
Now, don't start whimpering. We're in it, and we'll have to see what we can do to get out.
But what could they want of us?
How should I know?
What shall we do? Just sit and wait?
No, we'll start looking for a way out of this room right now. If we only had a light. Maybe we can find some other way out of this room.
We can try.
You go to your right, I'll go to the left. We follow the wall around till we meet.
All right.
And tap the wall as you go along. Listen for hollow spots.
No!
Now what?
I stumbled over something on the floor, sir.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. I shall have to feel.
What is it, John?
A body, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir. It's the body of a man.
Where is it?
No, don't touch it, sir. Don't touch it.
Why not?
I did. And a part of it crumbled to bits.
Good heaven.
Yes, sir. It crumbled under my touch.
Where is it?
Right at my feet. I'm afraid to move another step.
We'll see what this is.
Yes.
You're right. I just touched it and part of the clothing crumbled away.
Yeah.
And John, I felt bones.
Oh, sir. That's what's going to happen to us if we don't get out of this place. I just know it is.
You know, that fellow must have been dead for years. The clothing just crumbled away in my fingers.
Yes.
John, we must get out of this place as quickly as possible. We're in great danger, I am sure of it. In danger of our lives. We've got to find a way out of this room before we suffocate.
Why don't we try to find the place where the door was, sir?
Yes. Back to the door, John. We haven't time to look for any other exit. We'll have to find out how to open the door we came in.
It's over this way, sir. Right along this wall. Who's there? There's the hideous cackle of the old woman again.
Never mind about that cackle. We've only a few minutes to find a way out of here. When that door closed, it hermetically sealed this room. If we don't get out, we'll suffocate.
What shall I do, sir?
Feel along the floor while I search along the walls here. Feel for any loose boards or any part of the floor that might move.
Yes, sir.
Have you found anything yet?
No, sir.
Keep working. For heaven's sake, keep working.
I can't do any more, sir. I'm through.
Keep searching, John. Keep searching. There must be a secret spring somewhere in here that'll open this door. You find anything yet, John? John, answer me. John. Done for. Don't let go, man. Keep on. Hang on. We're not done for yet. John. John, we've made it. I've found the hidden spring just in time. Now, get you out of here. There. You'll be all right in no time.
Oh, it's you, sir.
Yes. Now, come on. Put yourself together.
Where are we?
I don't know. But at least we're out of that death trap.
How did we do it, sir?
Just before I went under, I happened on that hidden spring that works the door.
What about the old man with the lantern? And the cackling old woman. And the crumbling body of the man.
We're going to see about those things immediately. I'm going to get to the bottom of this thing.
And
come on.
And get suffocated all over again?
I don't think we will. Besides, I know where the release for the door is now. Come along. And careful. Take an extra long step when you enter the room. I think we tripped some kind of mechanism when we first entered.
Yes, sir.
Old man with a lantern went into this room and disappeared.
But where can he have got to? If he stayed in the room, he must have suffocated.
He didn't stay in the room. I'm positive of that. Keep your ears open. Listen for any hollow sounds.
There's one, sir.
Yes, I heard it. Listen. Don't you hear someone talking?
No, sir.
Put your ear to the wall and listen.
I can't do it anymore. I tell you, I can't. Don't do it. I tell
you, I don't know. You hear it now?
Yes, sir. Two people talking.
Yes. I knew that old man couldn't have vanished into thin air. There's another door hidden here somewhere. We're going to find it. Feel for anything movable around the wainscoting. I'll work up the sides here.
Can you hear what they're saying?
No, they're too far away to catch any of the words. However, from his tone, I'd say he was threatening her.
You found it, sir?
Yes, this little bud on the decoration here.
Look, sir, a flight of stairs.
Yes, and leading down. Come on.
Oh, haven't we had enough for one night, sir, without sticking our noses in any further?
We've gone this far and had an attempt made on our lives. We're going to clear up this business before we leave.
No telling what might be down there, sir.
That's what I'm going to find out. Well, you coming with me, or shall I go alone?
Oh, no, sir, I'm coming.
You can hear them talking a little more clearly now. We're close enough to make out their conversation.
Now, there are two more up there with Gregory.
Yes.
The man we saw with a lantern is talking about us, John.
Yes, sir.
He thinks we're dead upstairs with that body we found.
If you do not continue to obey me, that's what will happen to you.
Oh, no. No.
Cringe. That's what I want you to do.
Come on, John. We'll see what we can do about this.
When I'm gone, you think all the money will be yours.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
There's a turn in the passage just ahead. I can see a light shining. Quietly now. We'll be able to see into the room in a moment or so.
Tomorrow, you'll bring me another young animal to feed upon.
Yes, Brother Garnet.
It's her brother that's talking.
Yes. Easy now while I look around the corner. What in heaven's name?
What do you see, sir?
Come here.
Great heavens. A coffin.
Yes, a coffin.
With a huge lighted candle
and
at each corner.
And look in the coffin.
A man.
The one we heard talking.
When you get back to your cottage each morning, you wonder where you've been the night before, don't you? Huh?
There you are, John.
But his lips don't move.
No, but that's where the voice is coming from.
You don't know that I have you under my power.
What shall we do, sir?
We'll dash in there and let matters take their course. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Come on, then.
Lydia, the candle's quick. Out with them.
John, quickly, that cover over there. Slam it on the coffin.
The lady. Look at her. Look at the change that's coming over.
Oh, where am I? Then, you too. Where am I?
You should know better than us.
But I don't.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, please believe me. Why,
I begin to understand now.
I think I do, too.
It's been this all the time. While I thought it was just a terrible nightmare.
Would you like to make yourself clear?
The coffin. Tell me, who's in it? Who's in the coffin?
You mean to say that you don't know?
Oh, no, I swear I don't.
Well, you called him brother just a few moments ago.
Brother?
Your own brother Garnet is in that coffin.
No. No, how can that be? We buried my brother Garnet over 8 years ago.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
You are...
I'm Lydia Crampton.
Miss Crampton, I would advise you to start at the beginning so that we might unravel this maze.
Oh, I'll try. But not here, please.
Yes, here. If my deductions are correct, it would be better for everyone concerned to get the truth right here and now.
All right. There's very little I can tell you that I know definitely. Brother Garnet died about 8 years ago. I hate to say it, but he was horrible. He was a devil. As soon as Father died and he came into the money, he started making my life miserable.
Why?
I never could find out why. Then Garnet died and was buried. And with him was buried the secret of Father's will. I know that the estate was supposed to pass on to me after Garnet's death, but I can't find any sign of the will.
What have you done?
I have a small income from my mother. I've been living in a little cottage not far from here. Now comes the part that's like a terrible dream. But I'm beginning to see it now. I'm positive that I'm right when I say that Garnet, somehow, was able to exercise his will upon me after death.
What makes you say that?
What I've been thinking were horrible nightmares, I now see were actual occurrences. He made me come here every night to wait upon him. He told me that Gregory, his butler, had placed him here in this coffin and had buried a dummy in his place. Then he killed Gregory.
The body in the room upstairs?
Yes. When he had me under his spell, I used to pass through that room and laugh at the remains of Gregory. Call him lazy for always sleeping on the floor. To think that I would do a thing like that.
Go ahead, Miss Crampton.
He made me bring him a young animal every day or two.
What was that for?
He fed upon them.
Ah, I thought so. He feeds upon the blood of animals.
Yes. He sucked the blood from them. And when he had fed, he had the strength to get out of his coffin for a while.
This is horrible. Stop her.
Oh, quiet, John. Then that's how we saw him in the hall upstairs. Go ahead, Miss Crampton.
That is about all. He used to taunt me by the hour, telling me I'd never come into my inheritance.
I see. When we slammed the lid on the coffin, we broke his spell over you.
Yes, you must have done.
Tell me, Miss Crampton, where in this room are we in connection with the rest of the house?
I don't know. It must be on the ground floor, I suppose.
That's what I was thinking. I have an idea.
What is it, sir?
Hear that?
Another hollow spot.
Exactly. Now, what's this point right here?
Yes, sir.
We'll press it and...
It's opening!
Why, it's the bookcase in the front room.
Look at this in the back of the bookcase. A small secret compartment.
Keep away from the bookcase.
The dead body is talking. Talking even with the coffin lid on.
All right, John. We're ready to put a stop to his talking. Here, Miss Crampton. Package from the compartment in the back of the bookcase. I think you'll find it's your father's will.
Father's will?
Yes. Now, John, take those candles out of the candlesticks. Yes. Hand the candles to Miss Crampton. Now, hand me one candlestick and use the other as a hammer.
What are we going to do, sir?
We're going to put an end to Garnet Crampton.
But how, sir? What are we going to do with the candlestick?
I'll show you. I'll use the ornamental pointed end of this candlestick as a spear. You use your candlestick as a hammer. We'll drive this one through the heart of that monster in the coffin.
No, no.
But that would be murder.
It will not. He only lives during the night. Go on, strike. We'll release his soul so that he'll never trouble anyone on earth again. Faster, John.
I'm working as fast as I can, sir.
When Miss Crampton told me of his feeding on young animals...
Sucking the blood?
Yes. I knew then that we had a vampire to deal with.
What are you doing? For heaven's sakes, what are you doing?
We're ridding the face of the earth of a vampire. He It's done. We've driven the point of this candlestick through the coffin and through the heart of Garnet Crampton, who's long been dead, but whose soul has been held in bondage by the result of his evil practices in life.
Used as a spear, Winton and his man John put an end to the vampire's desire. Yes. Released his soul so it could never again return to the earth. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
Characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
The Hermit's Cave, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated recording from 1945. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark the Vanier. Thanks for tuning in.